Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich in the opening bell at 5 and my good friend, the great Steve Cochran at 6. Phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. That line is open right now for you to call or text 312-981-7200. The best, the worst, the most memorable, the craziest, TV and movie dads. Yesterday was Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And so in honor of that, we're going to talk about the best, the worst, and memorable TV and movie dads. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Esmeralda, did anything pop into your head like dad-related in movies or TV?
I always think of, what's his name? And he's got the special set of skills.
Oh, Liam Neeson's.
Right.
Yeah.
In The Taken. Or in The Taken.
The Taken series. There's three of them.
Yeah.
Or as Key and Peele calls him, Tooken.
Yeah.
Are you Liam Neeson's from the movie Tooken?
I always think of him because he fixes it.
Well, you know, the thing is, you just don't take his daughter. That's the problem.
Right, but it's very comforting. It's like, I can mess up and you'll come save me.
That's
Thanks,
true.
Dad.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, Liam Neeson's. Yeah, God, I remember when Taken came out. You know, that movie was supposed to go straight to video. The story behind that, Taken was like, people were like, oh, this movie's gonna tank. And it was going to go straight to video. And then at the last minute, they decided that they were going to release it. And it was just like, yeah, all right, we'll release this thing and we'll see what happens. And nobody expected it to last more than like a week in the theater. And then a month and a half, 2 months later, it would be on DVD. And there you go. But it ended up, you know, like doing incredible business and it kicked ass. Like that was one of the, I remember I saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh boy, this is going to be dumb. And at that time, Liam Neeson's wasn't really known as like an action guy, you know, like casting Liam Neeson in a movie like that was weird. Cause he wasn't like really an action guy. He was more like a critically acclaimed actor. He'd done a couple of action things here and there. But he was mostly known, I mean, he was Oscar Schindler, you know, and he was, you know, known for that kind of movie or for some of the films that he did back in Ireland. But none of them were just flat out throat punching action movies. That's just not what he was known for. So it was weird casting. And I remember the first time I saw Taken, I was just like, well, I was taken. See how that works? So. Dan, you've seen Taken, right?
I have seen Taken, yes.
Yeah. It's pretty great, man. The other one's not so much.
I believe it was one of those where I saw actually Taken 3 before I saw Taken 1.
Is that right?
Yeah, because Taken 3 was on whatever cable package I had.
So. Yeah. So you saw Taken 3 first? Were you able to follow along?
I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
See what happens in the third one. Who gets taken in the third one?
I don't even remember. I know that in the second one, it's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, his wife gets. I think he gets taken in the third one.
Right.
What a twist!
The dad of the guys in the first film,
right,
got killed, wanted to avenge his son.
That's right.
Okay. Wow. I like that he has
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
I just like that he has to save himself.
Well, sure. If you're going to get taken, even if you get taken, you have to, you know.
Because I don't think that daughter was going to come get him.
No. No, not really. Oh, man. By the, you know, I remember the first time I saw Taken, by the 12th guy that he throat punches, I was like, this is maybe the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. He throat punches like 53 guys in that movie.
Well, and he's so quiet.
Yeah.
You don't expect him to just start throat punching people.
Yeah, exactly. And I, when that came out, man, I was like, well, Liam Neeson is the biggest badass on the planet.
And then he goes and wrestles wolves.
He beat a bunch of wolves. You know? Liam Neeson beat some wolves up, man. That's a good movie. The Gray? That is a good movie. Have you seen that movie, Esmeralda?
I haven't seen it.
It's a tough movie to watch, man. I mean, it's a total survival movie.
Because he beats up wolves?
He beats the hell out of wolves. You don't mess around with Neesons. Oh, man. All right, so that's the first dad you thought of was Liam Neeson in Taken. That's pretty funny that that's the first one. That's for all of the first guy I thought of, Liam Neeson's in Taken.
Because he's so good. Yeah. He's such a dad.
He's the king. You don't mess, man. I used to have the damn speech on the in the audio village here, but it's not here anymore. I don't know what happened to who took it out of the audio village. Do you know, Dan?
Liam Neeson.
Did Liam Neeson come in and go, I don't want this in here? Because I used to have the whole like phone call, I think.
Right.
I don't know where it is. What happened there? See? I have this. We have this.
I'm Officer Nick.
Officer
and
Nick.
I'm sorry, but you're under arrest.
Really? For what?
You stole my heart. Oh. And you have the right to remain delicious.
Thank you.
That was from I don't know, was it The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or something? And the guy came up, I'm Officer Nick. And so, of course, Andy thought that was the funniest thing ever. So we still have that, which is, you know, that has no... Oh, we have this. That's a throat punch. Well, we don't... Oh, we do have this.
I'm pleased to meet you. My name is Nick.
Nick? What does that mean?
Nothing. My dad thought of it while I was shaving.
Yeah! From Top Secret. So, Dan, what do you... well, we got a break. Then I'll get your thoughts on that.
Woo!
We got that. It's very important that I have my Ric Flair. I just don't know what happened to the Takens. All right, we got a break here. All right, 312-981-7200, talk or text your favorite memorable and horrible and good dads, TV and movies. Nick DiGilio, that's me. How you doing? Your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will be calling in to tell a jokey time. All right, 312-981-7200. Speaking of dads, yesterday was Father's Day, so in honor of that, we're going to be talking about the best, the worst, the most memorable dads in TV and movies. 312-981-7200. Phone lines and text lines are open. 312-981-7200. Esmeralda immediately thought of Liam Neeson's from Tooken. And Dan, what about you? What was the first one that came into your mind?
I am a big fan of Friday Night Lights, so Coach Taylor, who he and his wife were not only the father and mother to a teenage girl, but also, by extension, you know, his entire football team. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things about the series is just, like, he's exasperated all the time. Like, he always looks exhausted. He always is just, like, has that look of, like, you've got to be kidding me, which I imagine will be how life will be when I have to deal with teenagers.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, despite that, it's always like, all right, we're going to figure this out. We'll get through this, you know, like just kind of the constant in the storm, making the tough calls, making the tough confrontations, and like doesn't always work out perfectly. But like at the end of the day, he can like put his head on his pillow and like rest peacefully being like, all right, I did what I could.
So. Is that Kyle Chandler?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. 312-981-7200 for your thoughts. 224 area code says, obviously everyone will think first of Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. Remember the line in the courthouse, stand up, your father's passing, a gentle giant. And the wonderful Nell Minow, who is the movie mom, has been on my show many, many, many times. One of my favorite people of all time. She wrote a 15 fathers in film piece, and she put him on the list. Atticus Finch, played by Gregory Peck, small town lawyer Finch, is not the kind of father to spend all afternoon playing catch or dress up. He does not tell his children how wonderful they are or how much he loves them. His children, Scout and Jem, learn from other people about his integrity and ability, and then they see how far he will go to keep them safe. The last line of the movie says it all. He turned out the light and went into Jem's room. He would be there all night, and he would be there when Jem woke up in the morning. So, To Kill a Mockingbird, the first one that a lot of people thought of on this list. Nell Minow put in a really fun list about the top 15 fathers in film, and you can check it out at beliefnet.com. All right, here's Ike on WGN. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
Okay, I first saw this talk about Father's Day and how you brought Liam Neeson and Taken. I have to mention there was another that like that before that, and I will have to say Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because and his daughter, of course, is Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, I love Taken, but I have to say he went to a lot of stuff to get his daughter back. He had to go against a dozen armies all by himself, like Rambo, to get his daughter back. That's how cool he was in Lindy's. I love Lindy's, don't get me wrong, but Schwarzenegger wins it for me.
Okay. All right, thanks, Ike.
No problem.
Take care. You know, Commando is one of the most ridiculous movies ever made. Have you ever seen Commando, Esmeralda?
I have not.
Dan, have you seen Commando?
No.
That's the movie where the Arnold Schwarzenegger smart-ass one-liners really started. You know, remember when I said that I would kill you last? I lied. Ha, 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 ha. You know. And then, like, he's holding the guy up. At one point, he's holding the guy up by his leg. He's got the guy. He's upside down. He's hanging this guy over, like, a cliff, Arnold is. And he's got him, like, by the ankle. And it's just Arnold, one arm, holding this guy, this, like, 200-pound guy by his ankle over, like, a cliff. And then he drops him. And that's who he says, I lied. And then he drives. I told you I would kill you last. I lied. And he opens up his hand, lets him go, and he falls down into the cliff. And then, like, 2 minutes later, they're like, where's Johnson? I let him go. So that's when all the – because it got to the point where, like, in every Arnold movie, after he kills somebody, like, he makes some smart-ass comment. That was – the Commando was the one that started all of those. It was ridiculous, completely ridiculous movie. And it's Alyssa Milano, and Alyssa Milano, that was pre Save, well, no, not Save. What the hell show was she on? Father Knows Where's My Dad? Yeah, Where's My Dad? Who's the Boss? Right, she was on Who's the Boss. And that was pre Who's the Boss, so she's like 8 in Commando. So if you see Commando, at the beginning of the movie, it starts out with like a montage where he's like taking her to get ice cream and he's like big, he's carrying trees and she's like, oh, look at you carrying a tree. You're my dad, Arnold, and you can carry trees. And he's running around with trees. And then like he's like throwing her up in the air and catching her. Ha, ha, ha. You are my daughter. Ha, 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 ha. So it's like this great little montage of Arnold being dad Arnold to his, to like 8-year-old Alyssa Milano. Then they kidnap her and he goes nuts and I let him go. Then like in I think it's Predator where like Predator is where he like whips a knife at a guy and it's like he gets stuck to the wall or he throws the knife so hard goes through the guy's body and sticks him against the wall. And then he goes, stick around! Because that's, you know, that's Arnold's thing. Kill somebody and then make a smart aleck remark about it. The worst of all of them is Running Man. There's like 50 stupid, like, quips in Running Man that are completely, you know, you don't even need them. Did you guys ever see, have you ever seen Running Man, Esmeralda?
That movie rules.
Oh, yeah, it rules. You know who directed that movie?
Who's that?
Starsky.
Oh, really?
Paul Michael Glaser directed that movie, yeah. Esmeralda, have you seen Running Man?
I've seen bits and pieces.
And you know who rules in that movie? Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson.
The host, right?
He's the host. He rules in Running Man. I saw that, yeah.
I saw that as Saturday night movie on Channel 9 at like 1 a.m. one time.
That's a classic, man. I saw that movie with Mel Torme. That was when Roy brought Mel Torme to the screening room. Did you ever hear those stories, Esmeralda?
No.
Roy brought Mel Torme to the screening room. It was in 1986. He was on the show, and he had like a 4-night gig. He was playing like 4 nights at the Chicago Theater or something, Mel Torme. And, of course, Roy, like, brings Mel Torme loved movies. So, of course, Roy Leonard, you know, I'm sitting in the screening room, and the entrance to the screening room was behind the seats. So we're sitting there one day, and I hear Roy coming in, hey, how's it going, everybody? Because he's Roy. Everybody loves Roy. He comes in, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, how's it going? Hey, you know Mel Torme. And I turn around and there's Mel Torme. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Mel Torme. And then Roy comes up, hey, Nick, you know Mel Torme. I said, no, I don't know him, but I know of him. Hi, Mr. Torme. And he came to see a bunch. It was 87. He came to see, like, he went to, like, four screenings in a row. I saw Running Man with him, and he told great stories about Richard Dawson. He said, you know, Dickie Dawson opened for me. Dickie Dawson, and he got a little lippy. He was like a stand-up comedian. He did like stand-up or something, Richard Dawson, before a Mel Torme gig. And I guess he got a little lippy with Mel Torme. Had him kicked off the tour. Like, all right, Mel. Don't get lippy with Mel Torme, man. Dickie Dawson. I love that he called him Dickie Dawson. Yeah, Dickie Dawson got a little lippy. And then so we saw Running Man. We saw Overboard with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, which he loved. Thought Running Man was goofy. But Dickie Dawson was in it. We saw Barfly, which he hated. He hated it. And then one more, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember those three specifically. It was Running Man, Overboard, and Barfly, and he hated Barfly. And Barfly was like, that was one of my favorite movies of that year. And then afterwards, he said, wait, that was a terrible movie. Why would I want to spend 2 hours with these worthless drunks? And I'm like, it's great. You like that movie? But then I told him where he can get a good tuna sandwich, and he was okay. And then I told him, yeah, you can get a good tuna sandwich right downstairs at the White Hen. They've got very good tuna sandwiches. And he went to the deli at the White Hen. He got a tuna sandwich. He's like, you were right about the tuna, Nick. I'm like, thank you. He said, I won't get lippy. I promise, Mel Torme, I will not get lippy. He was cool, though, man. Mel Torme was cool. Very, very cool. So anyway, that's Roy. Just Roy Leonard, man. That's just Roy. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm going to bring Mel Torme. Like, what are you talking about? Roy Leonard bringing Mel Torme to screenings for an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Mel Torme? Mel Torme is here to see Arnold go stick around, lighthead. So, all right. Okay, Father's Day. Yes, movies and TV, great fathers and horrible fathers. I mentioned already Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Not a real good dad. When you're trying to kill your family with an axe, that's not good. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay. Yeah. I'm coming home, baby. I'm not home. Coming home, baby. Velvet Fog, baby. God, did he hate Barfly. Oh, my God, did he hate it. 312-981-7200, Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Hey, Nick, you know Mel Torme. No, Roy, I don't. That's fantastic. Oh, man. All right. We were talking about, yesterday was Father's Day, so we're talking about the best, most memorable, the worst TV and movie dads. Jay sends a text, 312-981-7202. I like James Broderick as Willie's dad in the 80s TV show Family. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show. That was when I had like a crush on Christy McNichol on that show. She played Buddy. Everybody my age had a crush on Christy McNichol when Family was on. And then she was on the show with Bert from Soap. Remember Bert from Soap? Richard Mulligan. He was on that show where it was him and his two daughters, Empty Nest. You guys remember Empty Nest?
I remember Empty Nest.
I just watched an episode of it.
Did you?
Yeah, it's on, I think, Laugh.
Laugh?
Yeah.
Okay. He was the dad on that show, Richard Mulligan. And it was Christy McNichol and Dinah Manoff, I think, was the other actress who played the other daughter. Brian. Oh, okay. Here we go. I'm not surprised by this. Brian says, my favorite movie dad is Kurt Thomas's father, Colonel Cabot, in Gymkhana. It just doesn't stop with Brian. In a tragic moment, the viewer is led to believe that his dad perishes in the story's onset, but ultimately he reemerges later in the film to save his son's life, Gymkhana. All right, Brian. Any excuse to bring up Gymkata, and it Brian will be there. 773 area code. Howard Cunningham from Happy Days, a great father character. One of the best TV fathers of all time, Mr. C. Howard Cunningham. Definitely one of the best. 630 area code says that one of the best movie dad is in a movie is Arnold in True Lies. I don't even remember him being a dad in True Lies. And obviously I remember him being a dad in Commando because they go for ice cream. What was he a dad in True Lies? The only thing I remember about True Lies is Jamie Lee Curtis's striptease. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that I remember from True Lies.
I think he had a teenage daughter.
Yeah,
again.
Was it the Alicia Dushku? I want to say.
Oh, was that her?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it? Wow.
That's, yeah.
I can't stand that movie except for Jamie Lee Curtis's strip. That's the only thing in the movie that I like. It's the only thing in the movie I've seen multiple times.
You don't like the interplay between Tom Arnold and
no, and Arnold, no. And I remember there's one part where they take Bill Paxton out and he pees himself. He holds him over like a, doesn't he hold him over like a bridge or something and then he pees himself?
That sounds right.
And Bill Paxton plays like a used car salesman or something? And he was hitting on Jamie Lee Curtis and then Arnold made him pee himself. That was a stupid movie, man. I don't care what anybody says. That movie was stupid. Except for Jamie Lee Curtis, that movie was stupid. But Jamie Lee Curtis in that movie, oh man. You want to talk about falling off furniture involuntarily? Good Lord. I don't even remember. Why was he a good dad? What did he do in True Lies that was good?
He saved her.
Was she in trouble too? Did the terrorists get her?
Mm-hmm.
See, these are lessons to be learned. Don't be the daughter of Arnold in any movie and never marry Harrison Ford. Ever. Never, ever marry Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but it's fine because you won't die. They'll save you.
No. No, not in Harrison Ford's case.
All right, well, don't.
Sometimes they die, and sometimes he kills them. But they get kidnapped. Just don't marry Harrison Ford. Like, by the fifth movie in a row where Harrison Ford's wife was either almost murdered or kidnapped or killed, I was like, here's the lesson, ladies. Harrison Ford comes in the room. Don't talk to him. Harrison Ford wants to take you on a date? Don't go, because you're going to end up dead or kidnapped. Take your choice. Now, if you realize at some point when you're a baby that your dad is Arnold, leave. Leave home, because you're going to get kidnapped, and Arnold's going to have to let him go. This is stupid. All right, here's Rick on WGN. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. Hey,
morning.
I think the name of the movie was At Close Range with Christopher Walken and Sean Penn and his brother.
Yeah, oh, my God.
That was a horrible dad.
Well, yeah. Did he make this list, Dan?
He is not on that.
How is it possible? We have a list here from the New York Daily News of the worst movie dads. How is it possible that Christopher Walken did not make the list? Jeez. Oh, man. That based on a true story, too, Rick.
Is it real?
Yeah, absolutely. Based on a true story. Actually happened. Crazy. All right, Rick, thank you.
You bet.
All right. At Close Range. You ever see that movie, Esmeralda?
Who was in it?
Sean Penn, Christopher Walken, Mary Stuart Masterson.
No, I don't think so.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal movie. And Walken is unbelievable in it. Creepy. So creepy. So bad. So, but I highly recommend At Close Range. At that time, Madonna and Sean Penn were married, and she actually did the song from At Close Range, "Live to Tell." You know the song "Live to Tell"?
No.
The ballad? You don't know "Live to Tell" by my future ex-wife? Wow, that song "Live to Tell," which is an awesome song, is from At Close Range, and they were married at the time, and that there's a scene in the movie where, at this point, clearly Christopher Walken's a lunatic. First of all, he's Christopher Walken. And, like, they light him a lot from the bottom in the movie, so he looks even crazier. So they shoot him from the bottom in terms of lighting, so there's, like, his eyes bug out. There's a weird shadow across his face, and he's got the Walken hair, you know, standing up on end. And at one point, Mary Stuart Masterson, who plays Sean Penn is his son in the movie. At one point, she shows up And he's sitting at breakfast and looking real creepy and being real scary. And then at one point he just goes, and there's a big box of cornflakes in front of him. And at one point he's just sitting there and he goes, and you don't know what he's going to say. You're like, oh God, he's going to kill her. He's going to kill her. And he goes, you want some cornflakes? So, and I remember reading the story at the big premiere, the big Hollywood premiere of it. Madonna busted out laughing at that line and could not stop laughing for 5 minutes. Like, she was like, Sean Penn is like, would you shut up? And she just could not stop laughing. After Walken goes, you want some cornflakes? You just hear Madonna laughing her ass off for 5 minutes after the line. Oh, I love my future ex-wife. All right, we got a break here for the news. When we come back, we'll talk more. Best, worst, most memorable dads. Happy Father's Day to everybody for yesterday, and we'll continue talking about it. 312-981-7200. Everybody, hang on. We got some people on the line. Hang on, and the texts are coming in as well. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich coming up in just a little bit here at 5 with the opening bell. And then my buddy and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about worst, best, most memorable TV and movie dads. And yesterday was Father's Day. And speaking of fathers, my dad is going to be calling in to tell a joke in just a few minutes because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. All right, let's get back to the phones. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Greetings and salutations.
All right.
Thinking memorable dads from movies, I'm kind of going with a military theme. How about Robert Duvall in The Great Santini?
Yes. Yeah. That's
kind of wanted a discipline at home, Marine colonel, but he's kind of undisciplined as a Marine fighter pilot.
Right. Yep. Played Bull Meacham in that movie. It was a great movie.
Yes, I mean, you know, and that's very memorable. You know, it's a lot of funny moments in there, like the mushroom soup scene.
Yep, yeah, there's a scene in the movie Esmeralda where they're in a restaurant, and he's got a can of cream of mushroom soup that he's opened up, and nobody sees it, and he acts like he vomits, and then he spills the cream. He goes bleh, and he spills the cream of mushroom soup on the floor,
and then
all his
all right, you hogs. Shout out on me.
All you hogs, shout out on me. And then all his, like, you know, the people in his group grab spoons and start eating it in front of people who think it's really vomit. That's, like, one of the first scenes in the movie.
What?
Yeah, it's like his the guys that are under him, you know? Like, he's because...
All right. So they're in on the joke.
Oh, yeah, they're all in on the joke. Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. But they're playing it on a room full of people.
Right.
Who don't know that. And then they grab spoons and start...
All right, then.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the first scenes in the movie. It's, like, 2 minutes into the movie they do that, yeah. All right, Dave, thanks.
Keep your powder dry.
Take care. All right. Yeah, great Santini. Robert Duvall. All right. How about this one? Robert says, Ben Cartwright from Bonanza was a great father. Yes. That'd be Lorne Greene. 269 area code. Costner's dad in Field of Dreams. Aw. Yeah. Last 5 minutes of that movie. Cry my eyes out every single time. I've seen Field of Dreams 40,000 times. And during the last 10 minutes of that movie, gone. Like a sobbing. Like a baby.
An ugly cry.
Ugly. Like snot everywhere. Yeah. Not good. 815 area code says, even though he was an uncle and not a dad, I always loved Brian Keith as Uncle Bill on Family Affair. He was the coolest. Family Affair. Jody and Buffy. You guys, last time I mentioned Family Affair, you were both like, huh?
Well, I said I only know it from The Critic.
Right. That's the only, since there's a reference on it from the John Lovitz animated spectacular,
right.
The Critic.
And it's, what's his name from The Godfather?
Who, Marlon Brando?
Yeah, he's the butler in it.
He's the butler?
In The Critic. Because they do a remake.
Oh, they do a remake, and he plays Sebastian Cabot's role.
He plays the butler.
Oh, wow. All right. Donna says Archie Bunker. Oh, yes, Archie Bunker. And Robert Young from Father Knows Best. Those are two completely different dads right there. Robert Young from Father Knows Best. He knew best.
Mm-hmm.
Archie Bunker did not know best.
He tried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luke says, oh God, John Ritter in Problem Child. Well, you sure that's not Andy? Sure, it's not a pseudonym for Andy Herman?
It's a good point. Maybe he has a burner phone just to text in.
Just to has a burner phone so that he can text in John Ritter references. Here's a little piece of trivia, a little trivia. Little piece of little trivia piece. Problem Child, which is a terrible movie.
I love those movies.
Oh, God.
I remember watching them multiple times as a kid.
There's two of them. Are there more than two?
No.
I know there's two, for sure.
For sure there's two. I think I've only seen the two, if there's more.
All right. But Problem Child, which, as I've mentioned, is a terrible movie, is, did you see another terrible movie? Did you see Cape Fear?
No.
The Scorsese remake of Cape Fear with Robert De Niro and Nick Nolte? Okay. Dan, have you seen Cape Fear?
I have, yes.
Okay. It's the only Scorsese movie that I hate. Like, I actively hate that movie. It's the only movie that Martin Scorsese has ever made that I just think is a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene in the movie where Nolte and Jessica Lange and Juliette Lewis, who plays his daughter, they're trying to have some fun in a peaceful, nice movie theater.
Right.
And enjoy a motion picture.
Yes.
But sitting in front of them, smoking a big cigar with a terrible Hawaiian shirt on, is De Niro, who for the entire movie is just basically terrorizing the family and terrorizing Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
Is laughing his ass off, like scream laughing. Ah! And it's Problem Child that they're watching.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
That, I think, adds to it. That adds to it. It's like, well, De Niro's laughing his ass off at a terrible movie that isn't funny. And he's scream laughing, and that's Problem Child. They're watching Problem Child. All right, here's Trucker Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
All right, buddy, what's up?
I like John Goodman in Roseanne.
Absolutely.
My wife says I've got his attitude around the house.
Oh, that's nice. Know? That's good then, because he's an incredibly nice guy and a good dad.
Yeah, I mean, he says stuff like, we're not that attached to you and stuff like that.
I
told my daughter that once when we went camping. She says, Dad, what happens if bears come? I says, I hope you can outrun me because you're only five and I'm not that attached to you yet.
Yeah. That was great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and, I've always liked his movies and stuff, but I missed your review of, 10 Cloverleaf Lane?
Cloverfield. 10 Cloverfield Lane, yes.
Right. Yeah, we watched it this weekend, and it's like, wow.
You know,
it's like just when you thought you figured it out, it takes another left turn.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no,
then
it's.
Goes back to the right, and it's like, wow.
Incredibly incredibly entertaining movie, 10 Cloverfield. It's a great movie, and Goodman is phenomenal in it. And so is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She's great in it, too.
Right.
My dad, that movie came out. When did that movie come out, Dan? February or something like that? March?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. My dad has not stopped talking about that movie since it came out. My dad lost his mind when we saw that movie. He was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. And like every week, my dad, like when we're going to go to a movie, because I go to a movie now every week with my folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, my dad will be like, this won't be as good as that John Goodman movie we saw. He's like completely obsessed with the movie. It just came out on DVD. I'm surprised my dad didn't go out and buy 20 copies of it.
Well, you should have gotten it.
For Father's Day. All right. Hey, Rich, thanks, man.
Okay. You have a good
take
evening
care.
And take care. Bye.
All right, buddy. He went nuts, my dad, over that movie. That movie, and I think he kind of forgot what the title is. My dad's not, my dad doesn't remember some titles and things like that. I have to remind him every once in a while. He's 74 years old. Sometimes he forgets. So he just refers to it as that John Goodman movie. Not as good as that John Goodman movie we saw. I go, I know, Dad, you'd said that 15 times already.
Right. Well, I don't think he's talking about, where's that one?
King Ralph?
King Ralph?
Yeah, no, he's not talking about King Ralph. That's so funny that I knew exactly where you were going. Because that's the one movie on John Goodman's resume where you're like, what the hell were you thinking? He's a national treasure, John Goodman.
He is.
He's just, I love that guy. I love him. And he was great on Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so great in the movies, and he can do everything. I mean, he can do comedy, he can do serious stuff. He's one of the best SNL hosts of all time, Goodman. One of the best. He's just hysterical. I mean, when he showed up in '98, during the whole Clinton Lewinsky scandal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. With the
when he showed up as Linda Tripp.
Right.
And then, like, would just, he wasn't even a host. If they were doing Clinton bits, he would just show up in drag as Linda Tripp. Every single time it killed. Every single time. You're the best, man. You haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, have you?
I haven't.
That's good. It's really, really good. Really tight, beautifully made, you know? Yeah. 219 area code says, Fred Sanford is the funniest dad ever. That's absolutely right.
I was just watching.
They had a marathon.
Yeah, they had a marathon.
Yeah, all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got
which ones did you see?
It was the one where... Where, what's his son's name?
Lamont. Yeah.
He leaves because Sanford won't let him have a party.
And he moves in with Rollo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the girls show up and they love onion stew.
He brings in the onion stew.
Shows up.
And the Ripple.
Yeah.
He's got the Ripple.
We're so in love with Ripple and onion stew.
Yep. Yep. Because I'm trying to remember what kind of wine they had, but they had clam dip or something.
Beaujolais.
Beaujolais. Yeah, that's
Beaujolais.
Right. Beaujolais what?
And they had clam dip, potato chips, and peanuts. And they got real mad.
Man, that's what you serve. He goes, that's what you serve animals at the zoo.
Right.
Because that's what they said. Like, you reach inside my jacket right here, and you'll see I got a bottle of Ripple.
And then the other one I watched, he had come back from somewhere, and then he heard Lamont talking to
Grady,
how great he was. Yeah.
You don't need
Sam
me.
And Sam forgot me. He got wasted.
Yeah, he got... Oh, and it's hysterical. He comes back. He's completely annihilated. And he comes back. Is that also the one where, like, the next morning he's got the hangover?
Yeah.
And he's like... And he makes the... He's got the egg and the Tabasco sauce and all
I
the...
I fell asleep. I had to take a nap.
That's
so.
The best, man. nothing but Fred Sanford on Father's Day. All right. 847 area code says, Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire is a great dad. No, he's not. He's a terrible dad.
Oh, he tries.
It's a
so
terrible
hard.
Movie. It's an awful movie.
Stay with his kids.
It's an awful, awful movie. Awful. Oh, my
he
God, do
better
I hate
in
that
the
movie.
End.
I hate it. Alfredo says Josie Wales was a dedicated father. Yes, though his family was gone in the first few minutes of the movie. Yes, they were. Tony says, you mentioned my good dad, which is Ben Cartwright from Bonanza, but what about the bad dad from To Kill a Mockingbird, Robert E. Lee? Ewell. Tom Ewell. All right. Nick says, how about Robert De Niro as the bad dad in This Boy's Life? Yeah.
Oh, he's the worst.
That was my profile picture yesterday.
I saw that.
It was,
I felt so bad for Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie.
That movie's phenomenal. And that's the first time I ever saw DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Because I never watched, he was on Growing Pains.
Yes.
I never watched that show. So I saw this kid in this Boy's Life, and I was like, who the hell is this kid? And he's been great ever since.
Yeah.
But yet De Niro... All right, hot shot. Every time I come home, I touch the TV. It's warm.
That's a true story, right?
Yeah.
Which
Tobias Wolff.
Makes it even worse. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, my God.
No, that was really – that was a real dude. Tobias Wolff wrote the memoir that it's based on. It's a real guy. I met him. He came to town when they made the movie in 93. Mm-hmm. He came on Roy's show. And, you know, he was doing the tour promoting the movie and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's a nice guy. And ended up becoming a very famous writer.
Right.
Which you can see in the movie. That was what he wanted to do.
Yeah, but still.
But man, oh man. I know. Is that mustard empty? Is this mustard empty? The last 5 minutes of that movie? Good God. De Niro rules in it.
No, he's very good.
Just don't call me late for supper. Did he dry gulch you? Did he dry gulch you when he comes home after the fight? I've seen that movie like 8,000. That was a movie that, you know, Scott Oaken, who busted three chairs?
Yes.
When we lived at the Honeybee Complex, we watched This Boy's Life 8,000 times. We would just watch it over. You know what the other movie was that we watched all the time? Like nonstop? This Boy's Life and the Mambo Kings. We watched the Mambo Kings. We watched the Mambo Kings. Oh, no, I'm not kidding. Every other day.
All right.
All right. Well, we got the opening bell is coming up in a couple of minutes here. Let's find out what's going to happen on it. Here's Steve. Hi,
hey,
Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mine is Ralph Waite. It has to be Ralph Waite.
From the Waltons.
Oh, yeah, the Waltons.
Yeah.
And later NCIS. He was the dad on that as well.
Okay.
But a couple of years ago when he died, I did an obituary for him and found online YouTube. It must have been an hour long because, you know how on the Waltons he used to do those monologues?
Yes.
Somebody had pieced them all together.
Oh, my God.
And it just went on and on and on and on and on.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, he wins. He wins.
All right.
Well, we're watching the markets this morning because the big Brexit vote is this week, and new polls are out today showing that the in, stay in, is leading, and that's causing all of the European markets to be up about 3 to 4%. So that's good news because we were hoping that that would be the case and not the opposite, which would have sent the markets in the opposite direction. Also today, a local startup is offering free coding classes or coding classes to veterans to help them become software developers and web developers. We're going to talk to the CEO who's in our Allstate CEO Spotlight today. It's all coming up next on The Opening Bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. A couple more and then we got a break here. Craig says the dad from The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
630 says Tom Hanks in Sleepless in Seattle. Got another movie I hate. And Fred McMurray in My Three Sons. Oh, good old Fred McMurray. And then Carl says the worst dad of all time, Darth Vader. Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he chop off?
He chopped off his son's hand.
Yeah. I mean, he taught him a lesson.
Wow.
He grew stronger after that, didn't he?
Jeez. Oh, man. I can't wait to see what you do to your kids. I'm going to have to chop your hand off to learn a lesson.
Sorry, man.
Sorry.
That's how it goes.
All right. I got to go home and watch the Mambo Kings. You know, I'm not kidding, Esmeralda. We watched it like every day. Every single day. I don't know. It was This Boy's Life. Those were the two most popular at the Honeybee Complex. People would come over and they're like, dude, you're watching the Mambo Kings again? It's the greatest movie ever. It's such a weird choice, even me admitting it now. People are like, "Who? What?" Because when I tell the people that me and Oaken watch that movie like every day, they're like, "Why? What's wrong with you?" Because it rules.
Sure,
it does. All right, Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right, all right. We got a break here. News is up next.